family. Good to see you this evening. Appreciate you coming out. And we want to begin by saying thank you again for your hospitality, the use of the vehicle, the RV hookups, the meals. And then tonight, we had a wonderful time with Sister Bonnie. And I call her Sister Minnie Mae. That's just whatever. That's her new nickname. And a very special thank you to Sister Mae for taking us out to Red Robin. That was kind of funny. I was the only rooster in the hen house tonight sitting at that table. And and so they take the order, and every one of those ladies ordered the same thing, same thing, same thing. And the guy just looked at me and says, not ordering that. So you're a burger guy. Yep, I'm a burger guy. That's right. So, but we had a wonderful time of fellowship. Appreciate the hospitality. Thank you for your kindness, and we appreciate it very, very much. Take your Bibles tonight, and let's go ahead and go to Revelation chapter 5. I've been looking at a series of thoughts out of the book of Revelation. Now, we'll finish up tomorrow night, but the series of thoughts I've entitled, it's kind of a heralding cry, a king is coming. A king is coming, and he's just not any old king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you're saved, he's your king. He's my king, and he's coming again for you and me. Revelation 5, look at what's said in verse number 2. Revelation 5, we'll pick it back up where we were last night. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice," look at those next three words, "Who is worthy?" Who is worthy? And if you look in verse number 9, it says, "And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy." There's the answer found in verse number 9. And who are they singing about? Verse 11. The Bible says in Revelation 5:11, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice," here he's identified, "Worthy is the Lamb." That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing." We've looked at the portrait of the king. We've seen the perception of the king. We began a thought last night on the power and possession of our king, and I would like to bring that forward to tonight in a very practical way, because remember the statement we made last night. It was this: whether you give it or whether he takes it from you, God will get the glory. And tonight we want to look at that thought, giving glory to God, and how we can do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for who you are. We thank you that you're a good God. You're a gracious Heavenly Father. You're merciful and you're holy. Father, you are a God who cannot lie. And Father, you change not. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of your love for us. And we ask in Jesus' name your blessing on our time. Help us, Lord, to set aside the busy thoughts, the cares, the concerns that may weigh upon every heart here tonight. And may tonight, Lord, may you instruct us from your word how to exalt and glorify your name and your Son's name in our personal lives. Use this message in a very sweet and special way. And if there's one among us who isn't saved, pray tonight that they would make peace with you through the blood of Calvary, through the person of your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whether you give it or whether you force him to take it from you, God will get the glory. Come on in, folks. Come on in. And we've got a couple of handouts. Three handouts. All right. Yeah, anytime you come in after the preaching starts, it's $10 a handout, so you pony it up and put that on the preacher's tab, yeah. But grab a handout there. We're in Revelation chapter 5, and we're looking or reaching back to last night where we looked at the question, who is worthy? And verse 9 of Revelation 5 tells us that it's the Lamb of God who's worthy. And tonight we're going to go and bring this into a practical way. So Revelation 5 is where we are. And the statement we closed with, actually used or came up with last night, again, I'll say it. Whether you give it or whether you force him to take it from you, God will get the glory. And I know some people that would stomp their feet and say, well, why does he get the glory? Because Matthew 6 tells us, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for how long? Forever and ever. Amen. So let's move into this thought tonight. I want to look at three things that you and I need to recognize about giving glory to God. First of all, I want to just mention this because you and I need to define it. What does it mean to give glory to something, all right? I mean, what is the picture of that? Well, to give glory has this idea. When you glorify something, you lift it up, all right? It gets lifted up above others, all right? That word glorify means to lift up. It means to exalt. When something's exalted, there's that tendency to kind of worship it. You know what I mean? Here's a good word. To glorify something means to admire it. You know what I'm saying? To be in admiration of something or someone. So to glorify means to admire, to lift up, to exalt. We could say this, to draw the attention to or focus on in a very special way. Let's look at this thought, giving glory to God. First thing you need to recognize concerning giving God the glory is this. Giving glory to God is not normal. And just to add this, well, I put the word there. It's not normal publicly. Giving glory to God is not normal in America publicly. What do I mean by that? Society lifts up almost everything and everybody except Jesus Christ. All right? So I'm going to say that again. Society in America today admires and exalts almost everything and everybody except Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate. My search engine for my computer is Yahoo. So I'm pretty old fogey here, all right? I don't have all the new stuff that's out there. I'm still a Yahoo guy. But it's interesting, if you look at the Yahoo homepage, they have up in the corner Yahoo Top 10 Trending. All right? Every day they have a Top 10 Trending in Yahoo. And what that is what everybody's buzzing about, what everybody's looking at, what everybody's talking about. You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you, for all the years, I mean, you're talking 15 years I've had that Yahoo homepage. I'm going to tell you, I've seen movie stars in the top 10 trending. I've seen politicians in the top 10 trending. I've seen sports heroes, sports stars in the top 10 trending. But not one single time have I seen Jesus Christ make the top 10 trending at any time on Yahoo's homepage. Now that tells me something. Society does not lift up and exalt Jesus Christ. Giving glory to God is not normal publicly. So you say, well, if society doesn't do that, then who do they give or what do they give their admiration to? Well, first of all, if you have your pens, let's jot them down. I've looked at people in America. I've just considered, well, what do they glorify if it's not Jesus Christ? First of all, I find people find their value and what they base their value on and what they glorify, they glory in their wealth. Write that down. They glory in their wealth. Look in 1 Timothy with me after you write that word down. And in 1 Timothy, notice in chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. You know, people today glory in a lot of stuff, usually not the Lord. And one of the first things I've noticed is people glory in their wealth. They admire their wealth. In fact, they find their value based upon their wealth. You remember what the definition of pride was? Just my shortcut? It was this. It's an overinflated opinion of yourself. All right? That's what pride is. It's an overinflated opinion of who you are. Remember who we are? We're just dirty, rotten, wicked, filthy sinners saved by grace. All right? You say, well, that's not me. You have an overinflated opinion of yourself then. Amen? Because you are a sinner by nature. You are a sinner by choice. And that's why Jesus died, was to rescue you and save you from you and your sin. But an overinflated opinion of self, and people say, well, how can you get, what inflates a person's opinion? Sometimes it's their wealth. Amen? Sometimes they honestly think they're better than others based on their bank account. Amen? They find value and they glory in their wealth. That's who they are in their mind. Notice what 1 Timothy chapter 6 says. We're given a warning here. All of us in 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world. So the Lord recognizes some people do have riches, that they be not what? High-minded. In other words, have the overinflated opinion of who they are because their bank account has more in it or their net worth is worth more than somebody else. But instead, says, be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but instead in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Society, as we look across America, you need to recognize there are some people that glory in their wealth. Number two, write this one down. Not only do people glory in their wealth, but second of all, society today glories in their wisdom. Their wisdom. Look in 1 Corinthians 1 after you write that down. And we're not going to look at all these verses. I've just cherry-picked a couple, but I have them listed for you to consider. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you go there with me. Second of all, I notice people glory in their wisdom. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. I like how the Lord does this when he speaks of wisdom. You know there are people out there that think they're something because of the degree that's on their wall, because of the college or university they graduated from. Y'all with me? They see that they're better than others based on their wisdom. And notice what's said here concerning wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And if God could have a foolish day, he'd still be wiser than all the wisdom man could collectively garner in a single day. If God could have a foolish moment, it would still be wiser than the wisest moment any man can have. Amen? And then he goes on to say this in verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the mighty. Base things, verse 28, which are despised, hath God chosen. Why? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And look at what he says in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. And who is this Christ Jesus? He's the one who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, could you imagine walking into somebody's office one day and there's 3 degrees sitting up there, big framed, matted frames, you know, Harvard and Yale, medical, all that. And then on the other side, just an old rugged cross. You know, that old rugged cross is of greater wisdom and value than all those degrees. That's what the Lord's saying. Amen? Way more. And yet today, people, they glory in their degrees. And rather than redemption through an old rugged cross, there's the wisdom of God. Amen? People today glory in their wealth. People today in society, you watch it, they glory in their wisdom. Write this one down. People today glory in their abilities. Amen? They glory in their abilities. God-given talents. I've watched guys, you know, play in a basketball game, and all of a sudden, man, they hit that three-pointer at the buzzer, win the game, and they do this number, you know. Like, whoa, you know. Like, you know, I mean, they're glorying in their abilities. And I thought, man, do you have any clue who gave you that ability? I mean, and if he quit right now, you'd be going thump, 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 right? But you see, people today glory in their abilities. And God doesn't get the glory. They get the glory. They think there's something because of their abilities. Write this one down. I watch in society today, people glory in their appearance. Their appearance. Their beauty. You might want to write this verse down. Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful. Ladies, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. What does that mean? It's empty. You're not going to keep it. If Elizabeth Taylor could not keep her beauty, you're not keeping your beauty either, all right? She had millions to support that habit of keeping her. It didn't work. Y'all with me? You can paint the barn all you want. The barn is going south. It's rotten. Amen? You might go ahead and, you know, make it look a little better than nasty, but I would tell you, it's, in fact, one of the problems with beauty is if you really have it and it becomes your identity, when you lose it, it's just, it stings that much more. Favor's deceitful. Beauty's vain. Oh, but a woman that feareth the Lord, now she shall be praised. Amen? Yeah, the Lord's very clear about the value system. And yet in America, boy, you go through the checkout counter in Walmart, whatever. I mean, there's beauty, self, me, my, God. Ah. I mean, you look at, it's just all about exalting the creation more than the Creator. That's where American society is today. Amen? Now, I wrote this one down. By the way, men, when it comes to appearance, you need to recognize Planet Fitness may slow the process down, but man, I'll tell you, I've worked out at Planet Fitness twice this week, all right? So it's a cheap place to go, and I can go there, plug in once or twice a week, catch the news headlines, one station, you know, one news station, I'm on the elliptical, you know, and then if I switch to the other one, it's like, you know, so it changes my gait depending on what news station I'm watching. But you ever been to those fitness places, guys? I don't know. You know, you're sitting there and there's always that guy. You know, he's sitting there, he's walking around with the fingerless gloves, you know, and tank top, man, he's ripped, his abs are ripped, you know, and he's pumping these huge bars, you know, and then he gets in front of the mirror, you know, here's where I am when I'm watching that, I'm doing my elliptical thing, this is what I'm thinking, oh yeah, you're something now, buddy, yeah, but if you're about 25 years, man, you're going to be up here with me, doing this elliptical thing, your chest is going to go to your drawers, your get up and go is going to be gone, you know. And there's nothing you'll be able to do to stop it. Amen? And yet people glory in that. They can't even keep it. But they glory in their appearance. Amen? I wrote this one down. They glory in their authority. What station of life they have. How far up the ladder of success they are. And how many people they supervise. You know what I'm saying? I love what the Lord said. Pilate was sneering at Jesus and asking him the question, do you have any idea who you're talking to? Basically said, you know what kind of authority I have? And Jesus Christ said, you could have no authority except it were given thee from above. Amen? That's right. And yet today, in American society, people glory in their authority, their station of life, and how much influence they have. Write this one down. I watch in America, we do this all the time. People glory in their associations. People glory in their associations. Who they know, who they're networking with. Y'all with me? Who they've met. I've said this here before, but it's worth repeating. You ever fall into that trap where somebody says, guess who I met the other day? And then there's this holy hush. Who? And then they say, oh, I met so-and-so. And you go, whoa. Right? Maybe some political figure. You know, somebody famous. And then you know what you do? You can't just let that tennis swat just go. So you do this. Guess who I met 3 years ago? Game on. Now everybody's competing to see who has the bigger association. Y'all with me? And it gets really down there. Because then it starts going, well, I met the cousin of the uncle 3 generations removed from da-da-da-da. I mean, you're just digging up whatever you can to try to throw up some bigger association. I've always said, why play the game? If anybody ever says that, why don't you just cut right to the chase? Guess who I met the other day? It was a number of years ago. Who? I met the creator of this whole universe, and his son saved me from all my sin, and now I'm a joint heir with God, and his kingdom's mine. Beat that. Right? I mean, the best they can do is tie you. That's the best they'll do, is join the family and tie you. Go to Jeremiah 9. Watch how the Spirit of God says this. As we look at this idea of giving glory to God, lifting Him up, honoring Him, admiring Him, exalting Him, you and I need to recognize that this is not something that's normal in society, normal in publicly. Jeremiah 9, I like how the Lord says this in verse number 23. Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, He says this. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, it'll be just after the Psalms and Proverbs, just a little past the middle of your Bible, be the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 9, 23 says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Man, you're going to shout about something or someone. Shout about your God. Shout about your King. Amen. He's worth all more than all the riches in this world. He's got more wisdom than you. Everything about Him, He's the one that deserves it. But recognize, if you're waiting for society to figure it out, they're not going to figure it out. Don't wait for them to exalt Him. That's for you and me. Amen. So the first thing you need to recognize about giving glory to God is that it's not normal publicly. But second of all, here's a good one. Giving glory to God is not natural personally. It's not natural personally. What do I mean by that? We have an incredible obsession with self. Write it down. We have an incredible obsession with self. Let me prove it to you. You ever had a big group picture? Maybe the church on an anniversary had a big group picture? Right? Or you were at a reunion with a family, big group picture, and all of a sudden here comes the picture for you to see. Who's the first person you look for? You. First person you're looking for. You. Oh, wow. How do I look? It's our default setting. Amen? Have you ever noticed when you retell the stories, you cant them and paint them in a favorable light toward yourself? Amen? Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. I remember years ago, one of the things we loved to do, and Miss May, I think you were here, Miss Bonnie, when we would play softball, and our kids, we had a number 10 softball, and we'd all come through, and we'd base up, and man, I had six kids right there as a team, you know what I'm saying, and Deb and I would play, and I mean, everywhere we went, the kids had a softball circuit along with the preaching. And I remember one game we had down in Georgia. Kevin was the captain on one team, and I was the captain on the other. And boy, he wanted to beat Dad, something fierce. And so this game went all the way to the ninth inning. Kevin's team was winning by 3 runs, and bases were loaded. Dad was up to bat. Casey's at the bat, you know what I mean? Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth. Boy, old Kevin's getting nervous. And boy, we only played 4 pitch. You only got 4 pitches from your own pitcher. All right, so the game just kept going, and they throw you rollers, you were in trouble. And man, my pitcher, I don't know what he or she was doing, but finally the last pitch, man, I parked that right down the third baseline into the woods. And I remember taking off around first, second. I mean, just run. I just would run. It's when you play softball, like, you just run. They'll never catch you. All right, the ball will be where you just were. That's how I learned. So I'm peeling around. Man, Kevin, he gets that thing. He's throwing it in. And I still remember that ball come bouncing down third baseline as I'm running third baseline, slide in, grand slam. Dad's team wins. You know? And I remember relating that story to the kids. We got together at Christmas a number of years ago. And as I'm telling them about, you remember that game, Kevin? You know, and all that. And I said, this is what happened. They're all sitting there looking at me, and they're just kind of looking at me. Like, oh. And I said, what are you all acting so weird for? Well, that's not how we remember the game, Dad. What do you mean that's not how you remember the game? That's what happened. Dad hit a grand slam homer. Cleared the bases. We won by 1 run. And they just sat there in silence again. I said, well, Kevin, what do you remember? No, I don't remember that, Dad. No. I remember you trickled the ball to first base, and Kimberly got you out. You know Kimberly, the secret weapon for the opposing team? Everybody wanted her on the other team. I mean, she's all girl, didn't even know how to play the game. She just pounced on the ball and touched the base. You were out. I said, that did not happen that way. And one by one, yes, it did, Dad, yes, it did. And my final plea was to my wife, hon. And she didn't say a word. She just went, I said, you guys are sick. But we do that, don't we? I mean, you look at what's going on in politics today. Everybody's trying to make the other side look bad. Welcome to life. I mean, it's just where it is, and they're trying to make them look good. But we do the same thing. So recognize something about giving glory to God and exalting God. Though it's not normal publicly, it's not natural personally either, because we have this incredible obsession with self. We want to lift up us rather than him. Amen? And so let's go to the back of the page, because here's, we want to just get practical here. All right, so giving glory to God is it's not normal publicly. Second of all, it's not natural personally. But thirdly, you need to recognize this. This is a really important point. Giving glory to God is not neutral. It's not neutral. In other words, it doesn't happen accidentally. Amen? You don't all of a sudden just kind of, you walk along and go, whoa, I just gave God glory. How did I do that? It doesn't happen that way. Because of the default setting of obsession with self, giving glory to God doesn't happen by accident. Giving glory to yourself will, but not to God. Write this in. Fill this in. Point A. I must and you must positively and on purpose give glory to God with your life. Or you put him in the position where he must take glory from your life. All right, I'm going to read that again. You and I must positively and on purpose give glory to God with our life, or we put him in the position where he must take glory from our life. Isn't that interesting? You see, if you and I don't positively on purpose bring glory to God, we'll automatically give glory to someone else, and it's almost always self. Amen? So, here we go. I found at least 7 ways in your Bible that you can on purpose give glory to God in your life on a daily basis. You can exalt him. You can draw attention to him. You can lift him up. You can cause him to become admired by yourself and others. Number one, what's the first way to give glory to God? By the way, write this verse down. Psalm 29:2. Write this down. Psalm 29:2. I'm going to quote it, but you don't want to miss this verse, because listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 29 and verse 2. He says, give unto the Lord. The you is understood. Whoever's reading that is given a command. Give unto the Lord, listen to this, the glory due his name. Psalm 29:2. You give unto the Lord, that's a voluntary action on your part, the glory that's due. That means you owe this. It's a payment that's due for the goodness of God. The glory that's due unto his name. What's the first way you can do that? Number one, salvation. Salvation. I'm going to read what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. But in Galatians chapter 1, listen to what Paul said about salvation and how God got glory out of his life. Galatians 1 and verse 23, Paul, now saved, says this. Galatians 1:23. He says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past, speaking of himself, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Paul said, man, they heard the faith I used to destroy. Remember on the road to Damascus? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, the faith he once destroyed, he He now preaches that faith. And look at verse 24. And they glorified God in me. Wow, that's good. You know what? Changed lives glorify the Lord. Amen? You say, well, I want to give God glory. Get saved. Trust Christ as Savior. And you'll not only have your sins forgiven, but He'll begin a good work in you and begin to transform and change you into the image of Jesus Christ. Wow. Changed lives glorify God. Number one, salvation. Number two, write this one down. Here's a second way. You can give glory to God. Gratitude. Gratitude. And then I put in parentheses, expressed. All right? Gratitude expressed. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Classic moment here. Jesus Christ has 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. The leprosy was an incurable disease. It's a picture of sin. It's very debilitating. It's very ugly. Literally, the body is rotting. And you become separated from the rest of society. In Luke chapter 17, in verse number 12, look at what's said here. Luke 17, 12, and as he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, and of course, which stood afar off. Notice verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Powerful, amen? And look at this, and one of them. You could almost put the word in there, just one of them. When he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Notice that, how he brought glory to God. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this, you could add the word, single stranger. Wow. Do you know gratitude expressed brings glory to God? You say, I want to give God glory. Well, pause and thank Him for something He's blessed you with. Amen? These lepers, all 10 of them, should have fallen at his feet, thanking Him for being cleansed. Y'all with me? Because they were walking dead men. They should have, but only one came back to say thank you. And that lifted up and glorified God. Amen? I want to say this. When you're out in the public arena, you thank God for the food. That acknowledges that God is, and you got this from Him. Don't just head into the meal and act like that's a gift from God. One day you may not have it. Amen? Show some gratitude. I love what Tozer said. Tozer said it this way. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one that the poorest of us can make. And be not poorer, but richer for having made it. Isn't that a good thought? Gratitude expressed brings glory to God. Number three, write this one down. Righteous living brings glory, gives glory to God. I'll just quote Matthew 5. Righteous living. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Living for Jesus Christ, living a righteous life brings glory to God. Number three. Number four, write this one down. Confession of sin. Confessing your sin brings glory to God. Go back to Joshua with me. Joshua chapter 7, a classic portion of Scripture. It's much earlier in the Bible than you think it is. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1 and 2 Samuel, the 6 books of the Kings. Go to Joshua chapter 7, 6th book of your Bible. Right after Deuteronomy is Joshua. And look in Joshua chapter 7. We know what happened here. Achan went ahead and disobeyed the Lord. He went ahead and took a Babylonian garment from the spoils. He took a wedge of gold and so forth. He hid it in the tent. All right? And then lots were drawn to determine who had disobeyed God, because God said nobody touches a thing after this victory. But Achan disobeyed, took the spoils. The lot falls upon Achan. And notice what's said in verse 19. as Achan is now confronted with his sin. Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." Wow. Did you notice there that when you and I confess sin, rather than hide it, it brings glory to God? Now, I have a little formula. Private sin should be confessed privately. Public sin should be confessed publicly. Amen? Y'all with me? Why would that be? Because listen, when you sin publicly and there's a common report out there, you haven't just broken conscience with God, you've broken conscience with your church, you've broken conscience with your family. Y'all with me? And the only chance you can get things right with the two breaks is to go ahead and confess it, humble yourself. This is a great truth that just recently I've been using this. Scripture says, by mercy and truth, iniquity gets purged. I was just talking to one of our children. They have a relative on the other side of the family that just got incarcerated, had broken laws, and is in jail right now. And, you know, up until that point, there was just pure denial, though all the evidence was there. He was guilty. And here's the funny thing. You can't get mercy if you aren't honest first. Or you can't have your iniquity purged if you're not honest first. Amen? You have to confess it. You have to admit, I'm wrong. We hate doing that. But then on the other hand, then mercy has to be applied. You can't give mercy without truth, but you can't give truth with no mercy. It's through mercy and truth iniquity gets purged. Amen? Y'all with me? And so that's why if there's a common report, you have to go ahead and be honest about it. And we've watched this work. We've watched in a church where maybe somebody was living wrong and then they confessed it and they had the opportunity, the church had the opportunity to forgive them. And then they know case closed. But if you won't confess and give them a chance to forgive, you'll sit in the back of your mind thinking they still got something against you. And what are they thinking about me now? And it just ferments. Y'all with me? You want case closed with God? Get honest with God. You admit who you are and you confess it. You want case closed with others? You need to get honest with them too. God giveth grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Amen? Back to that message, aren't we? And so here we see Joshua challenges Achan to make confession, and when he does, that gives glory to God. How does confessing your sin bring glory to God? How does confessing your sin lift God up and exalt him? Here's how. When you and I confess our sin, what direction does it make us go? Automatically down. God never has to change where he is. By lowering ourself, automatically, he becomes higher. Amen? Because he's done no sin. Isn't that good? Yeah, God gets glory when we confess sin. You say, well, I want to give glory to God. You got some sin in your life? You've been toying around with, hiding, bearing, just like Achan? Confess it to the Lord. Private sin, I don't want to hear your private sin. You talk to God. He's big enough to handle it. I'm not. I might tell others what you've been doing. All right, you go tell God. You with me? We have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. We ought to learn to come to him. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, so confession of sin brings glory to God. Write this one down. Praise and adoration. Praise and adoration gives glory to God. This is the fifth way you can exalt the Lord with your lips and your life. Psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Amen? Praise him. It's almost like thanking on steroids, all right? Praise him for who he is. Give him adoration. We spent time in prayer today. Three of us were here, and we just spent time in prayer. And it's my template. I've given you the template before. A-C-T-S. That's the template. What's the A? Adoration. when you start your prayer life. Begin to adore your Father. Lord, I give you praise and adoration for being holy, not unholy. I'm grateful, Lord, you're good, not bad. He's a good God. I'm thankful you're merciful. You know, on and on and on. He's a God who cannot lie. He traffics in truth. You can just give him adoration. That's the first letter when you pray. And then the C, confession. The confession of sin. Very easy to do after you adore him, because everything he is, you probably aren't. I'm probably not. Amen. Then T, thankfulness. Thank him. Thank him for good times, bad times, people, places, things, spiritual blessings, even the hard times. And then S, supplication. That's where you lift up others and their needs. And we did that today. So you and I need to recognize adoration and praise brings glory to God. Amen? Just adoring him. Number 6, write this one down. Church attendance brings glory to God. Church attendance brings glory to God. What does he say? He says, unto him be glory, where? In the assembly, in the church. God gets glory. Let me say this. Here it is, the middle of the week, a Wednesday night, and there are cars in the church parking lot. All right? We know it's not a bat mitzvah. Right? We know that. That would be a Friday if it was Jewish. Probably not a wedding. They usually don't. What are those people doing there? You know, now listen, let me tell you something. When you go by the bar on a Friday night and that place is packed out with cars, you kind of know what they're doing there. They're worshiping the bubbly. All right? That's their God. That's who they're giving praise to. That's who they're admiring. They're investing time, money, all kinds of it. That's the God they're worshiping. And you know here tonight, you know who we're worshiping? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We've set aside time. We're investing time. We're investing energy. We're giving attention. And we're fastening our eyes on Jesus Christ. Those cars in the parking lot tell everybody, hey, people are here worshiping the Lord. Amen? So you got 3 cars next time we have a meeting, bring all 3. It makes it look like more, all right? I'm serious, man. They pack out their places of worship, the stadiums, the bars, the restaurants. Y'all with me? They pack out their places of worship. Come on. Don't be ashamed. You're worshiping the winner, not the loser. Amen. What do you have to be ashamed of Jesus Christ? There's not one thing. When you meet him, you're not going to go, oh, you're it. No. No. There's nothing about him you'll be embarrassed about. He'll be more than you thought and dreamed of. Don't be ashamed of him. Amen. Praise the Lord for the opportunity. You know, you say, but you know, we come, there's not a lot of us. Well, that's all the more reason to be here. Amen. Remember hearing about the Church of the Lighted Candle? You ever hear that little story? Sitting up on the top of the mountain, and you know, they were so far removed, they had no electricity. And so Sunday evening services, when the sun set, church house was dark, and so everybody had to light candles, just like those Christmas Eve services, you know. And they had to light those candles. And one day, a guy and a member of that church, he was down in the community, and somebody bumped into him and found out he went to that church up on the top of the mountain with no power, the Church of the Lighted Candle. And he said, man, he said, when it gets dark, you guys don't even have electricity. He said, no, we don't. We got to use candlelight. He said, wow, your evening service must really be low. He said, no, actually, that's our best turnout. He said, what? Why would that be your best turnout? He said, well, 2 reasons. Number 1, we figured out a long time ago, if more of us show up, there's just more light for everybody then. We light her up. And number 2, we know all those cars going by down below that mountain are looking up, and we just want that light to be as bright as we can make it to let them know Jesus Christ is worth worshiping. See, every time I hear all these things of why God's people can't assemble, I think those are the reasons we need to. We met the Romanian Christians 2 years ago in the midst of COVID. They were stunned. Romanian believers came under Ceausescu's boot and heel. They come out of a communist country. They could not believe American believers would not gather in a local church because of some virus. I'll just be frank. They couldn't. They were stunned. And it was such a teachable moment, because I said, why? This is what they said to me. When we were in Romania under Ceausescu, every time we gathered was a death sentence. If they caught us, We were in jail. And you know what? We counted it an honor to be representing Jesus Christ who died for us. Wow. Now listen, there's times we're providentially hindered. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. Y'all with me? I mean, there's health things that sometimes do keep us out. Y'all with me? But fear shouldn't be the thing that keeps us out. Amen? Shouldn't be the thing. And again, you just feel like you're walking on eggshells. Let me just tell you, here's where American Christians are. They're very happy for Jesus to suffer for them. But they're not too happy to suffer for Him. And that should never be that way. Should never be that way. That's for us to implement in our own life. I don't answer for you, you don't answer for me. But we should count it a privilege, amen? Listen, you're here tonight, maybe you didn't do this actually. I think you kind of drove here intentionally, right? So notice, you're giving glory to God being assembled here. And it wasn't accidental. It was on purpose. Amen? You purposely came here. And then write this one down. Here's the seventh way I found that you and I can give glory to God with our life by witnessing. Write that down. By witnessing. Drawing attention to Jesus Christ in the public arena. Jesus said, John 12:32, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Now He's talking very specifically of Calvary being lifted up on the cross. But let me just say this, there's a symbolic application there. And it's this, when you and I talk about Jesus Christ, what are we doing? We're drawing people's attention off of the sports and the entertainment and the food and the movies and Hollywood and politics. And for a moment, we're drawing their attention to consider Jesus Christ. And that's what God has called us to do. Amen? And that brings glory to Him. Just turning attention to Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? And having them consider your Savior. And then I did write an eighth one down because I found an extra one here. You know, you can bring glory to God through your death. Through your death. John 21:19, Peter was told how he was going to die in John 21:19, and that by that death, Peter was going to die was going to be because of his Savior. All right? I just remind you, the days of casual Christianity are over in America. They're coming to a big close. You could spend jail time for worshiping Jesus. I could spend jail time for preaching against the sin of sodomy. Y'all with me? I mean, it's getting to that point. It's already happening in Canada. But it's getting to that point here. Canada just leads us by 10 years. Wherever they are, 10 years later, here we are. That's just how it is. Or look to the left coast, California, wherever they are. Just give it a few more years, everybody's going to be there. It's a natural downward spiral. And yet the Bible's clear about that sin. And other sins too. Not limited to that. But I'm going to tell you, we're right in the middle of this month. And you know what? God's not celebrating it. Never has, never will. And they can get saved just like I got saved from my sin. I know them. I've met them. They've gotten saved. And when you get saved, you turn from your sin. You don't keep living in it. And people say, well, who says that that's wrong? God does. Well, I don't like His rules. Too bad. He got here before you did. He set the game up. You can throw a little hissy fit and get all mad. Kick the ball out and start your own game, but you will pay for that for all eternity. Either play by the rules your Creator set up or not. And by the way, He didn't just set rules up. He butchered His Son so you could have eternal life and spend forever with Him. What a God. Wow. Amen? That's amazing. So you and I, if we die for the Lord, that brings glory to Him. So here's what we want to do is we're winding the thoughts down tonight. Not a lengthy message, but this is a powerful tool that you can use for the rest of your life. Here's what you need to recognize. There are at least eight ways, not seven with death, that you and I can give glory to God. That's a voluntary action. You can confess your sin. You can get saved. You can attend an assembly that worships Jesus Christ. You can go ahead and live righteously. You can express your gratitude. You can give Him praise and adoration. And you can witness for Him. There's 8 ways that you and I can voluntarily give it. But there's only one way God takes it. There's only one way God takes the glory you should have given Him. And write the word down, judgment. Judgment. Let me say, we serve a gracious God. He gives us the opportunity, 8 ways to voluntarily give Him glory, to voluntarily lift Him up. And if we will not do it, we force Him to take it from us in judgment. Never forget this. Whether you give it or whether you force God to take it, God will get the glory. Why? For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. You are not the one 1 million years from now that we're going to be admiring. All right? I'm not going to be the one everybody's gathered around going ooh and ah about in heaven. There's only one. His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's truly all about Him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, I hope you're giving Him glory. I want to close with this. Years ago, we came into Somerville, Alabama. It's just north of Birmingham. The man there was Pastor Shane Lewis. Shane Lewis died just a year ago, year and a half ago. I preached for him, and he passed away 60 days later, 49 years old, one of a dear friend of mine, amazing pastor. And I remember as we came in to Somerville, Alabama, we were preaching a tent meeting. And that was a very unique time because the church courthouse, or the courthouse of that town, is the oldest courthouse in the entire state of Alabama. And the deacon of the church, one of the deacons, the church about 400, that deacon was the mayor of the city. And so when we came in to set up our tent, he went ahead and set us up on the courthouse lawn in Somerville, Alabama. He got the orange jumpsuit guys who were incarcerated. He had them be our work crew. It wasn't a chain gang, but close. And they pounded the stakes. He put them to work, gave me the key to the whole city, anything I wanted to do, any library, whatever I needed. The key opened to all of the little town, not a big one. I remember asking him, "Hey, Mayor, how can you do that? How can you put my tent on a courthouse lawn? I mean, 100 miles from here, they're tearing the Ten Commandments off another courthouse." He said, "This is my town, and if I want you here, I'll find a law that says you can be here. And if I don't want you here, I'll find a law that says you can't." And that's called leadership, amen? That's they just do what they do and let the lawyers handle it after that. But that's righteous leadership. Don't ever let authority say they can't. They could. They just don't want to. Amen? So anyhow, he sets us up. Man, we had us a tent meeting, but I'll never forget the special music, one song this lady sang. Her name was Mary. I still remember her name, and she got up to sing just before I preached. We got everybody in the tent there, and just before I get up, she comes up to sing. And she kind of swayed and had to keep her balance a little bit, struggled to keep her balance. And I remember the song she sang. This is how she sang it. "There is a river that flows from Calvary." She sang it in a beautiful voice, but halting, and trying to keep her balance. I've never been affected by a special like I was that one. It just drained everything out of you. You just felt like just crumbling and just crawling forward and just thanking God for being so good. I remember she finished singing and I came up and I said, "Mary, sister," I said, I have no idea what your story is, but I've never been affected so profoundly by a special before. With your pastor's permission, could you sing that for the invitation song?" And he said yes. She said yes. I said, "All right." And I preached. Remember when I finished the message, she came up to sing. Nothing changed. Just my heart just melted as she sang. And now I joined people at the altar. And all I want to do is just say, thank you, Lord, for being so good. Just gratitude just welled up. Following the service, all was done and it quieted down. I said, sis, tell me your story. This is what she said. She said, I was raised in a Christian home, Brother Dave. And God blessed me with an incredible professional voice. And as a girl at an early age, I began to sing, moving quickly into the professional circuit. And she said, and when I sang for me. That's what my voice was for. And I got the admiration. I got the applause. She said, that's why I sang. But just a few years ago, God struck me with a disease that almost took my life. I just clung to life. And in His mercy, He handed life back to me. And that voice again. And now, Brother Dave, I just sing for Him. Wow. You know, whether we give it, what a privilege to give something to God that belongs to Him already, or whether we force Him to take it from us, God will still get the glory. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so tonight, as we close this service out, I'm going to ask Miss Alicia to just come and just play. And we may sing, we may not, I don't know. But I think just for a few moments, it's just 4 minutes after eight. Where you are, if you want to come forward. While the music plays softly, I'm going to pray right now. You ought to just go ahead and give glory to God, praise Him. Thank Him. Just privately, just wrap this truth around you. And if you're not saved tonight, whoa, what a great way to bring Him glory. Trade your sin for an incredible Savior. That's the offer God makes. He said, if you'll take my Son, I'll take your sin. And what a deal. Only a fool would say no, but I meet fools all the time that don't make that bargain, don't take God up on the offer. If you're not saved, you ought to say yes to Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, Lord, for this message tonight. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for us in the person of your Son. And Lord, as we bow our hearts, we want to express our gratitude to you for our salvation. We want to praise you for who you are. We want to give praise and adoration to you, Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for our salvation tonight. And Lord, we ask tonight as we have this little time, hear our prayers. Help us, Lord, to, as a minimum, give you the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to your name, which, as Brother Tozer said, the poorest of us can make, and be not poor but richer for having made it. Lord, help us to be grateful. Help us to express that. May you receive glory tonight from our lips and our life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and place this.
music's playing softly. Is there sin you need to confess between you and God? Attitude that's not right? There's something you need to express your gratitude for. And don't limit it just to the good things. He says very clearly, in everything give thanks. Could be something that's bad. All things work together for good for those who love God, the called according to His purpose. Tell Him thank you. Praise Him for who He is. Confess sin. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. After Thy will, while I yield in. Brother Fred, come up and join me. I want to sing that verse one more time. You take the lead and I'll do harmony. Have Thine own way, Lord. What page number? 306. Let's grab a hymnal. Let's stand tonight. 306. Have Thine own way. We'll sing the first and last verse. 306.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded.
On that final verse, verse 4, listen to the words as we sing it.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
All of God's people said,
amen.
You know, just before I came into the auditorium tonight, I asked Deb for something. Not long ago, I preached this series in a church, and was it one of the ladies, Mumser? One of the ladies did up this little laminated card that she did a whole bunch up and handed it to every church member to put in their Bibles. 8 ways I can give glory to our King. And she listed those, put it right inside her Bible when she reads her Bible in the morning. It's the reminder. Listen, you don't give it to Him accidentally. You must on purpose bring Him glory and give Him the glory. Amen?
Amen?
And this was just the neatest little thing. So I just mentioned it. You got some artsy-artsy people here. Never know. I mean, somebody could probably do that, but it's just a wonderful reminder, just a little card. And don't wait for society to lift Him up.
Right.
Amen? That's for us.
That's right.
We influence them. They don't influence us. And by the way, don't steal the glory. Children ought to know better than ripping off something from Dad. Amen? It's not ours, it's the Lord's. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. You glorify Him with your lips and life. And I hope this was a help to your heart. Oh, by the way, you know what song you should sing tomorrow morning? So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, children of the King. Amen? Hey, we need to do that. This world needs to hear our lips and see our life lift up our King. He's the one worth worshiping. Amen. Pastor, you come, dismiss us as you see fit, and Lord willing, we'll gather tomorrow night, bringing glory in the church.